Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Train Dreams.
I watched the second half of Train Dreams.
And this is the other half. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, bum. That's right, everyone. We're here again, once again, for Oscar month.
Choo-choo.
Get hyped. 2016 Oscars. Choo-choo. I'm definitely not going to get this mixed up with the 2022 or the 2023 Oscars Choo-choo. Like I've done in the past. Because this guy, the same director of this movie, also made Sing Sing.
Sing Sing.
Which I thought was last year.
Yes.
It was not.
It wasn't?
It was made the year before. It might have been nominated last year, but I'm just like,
time already
is flying.
I know.
Time is flying.
Yeah, and he's back making another movie for Netflix this time.
Yeah, Netflix.
Yeah, not A24.
Yeah. He basically had the same arc in the previous movie you watched, Sentimental Value.
Which also had a narrator like this one does.
It does have a narrator. And I don't know who the narrator is in this movie, actually.
You actually do know who the narrator is in this movie. Have you ever seen Remember the Titans?
Well, I meant like actually as a character.
Oh, he's a nobody. He's just a guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I know the voice is very recognizable.
Yeah. But he's just a guy. He's like God or the...
God or whatever. I don't know what it feels like. It feels like Ken Burns.
It feels like a Ken Burns. The music helps a little bit with that too.
Yeah, and sometimes watching this, I was like, "Is this like a dramatic retelling with a Ken Burns vibe of some like event?"
Just a guy.
Yeah, which Ken Burns never does. He's always like, "Here's the big, epic scope of everything." Well, I guess he does. He did do, I think, one person. I can't remember who Ken Burns did. I feel like he did one look at one person's life.
But it must have been someone important, right? Like Howard Hughes or, you know, like somebody who...
You think it wouldn't be someone important?
Honestly...
Are you saying like this?
Have this idea.
Muhammad Ali.
That's pretty awesome. Because Muhammad Ali was like a multifaceted, cool, like, you know, figure in like racial justice and, you know, stuff like that. I always think it'd be really cool to do like a TV show and every season it's about someone that's super like relevant or important to like pop culture or whatever. But... you don't know who it is. It's just like you just see this person's life and then eventually like they do the thing that makes them famous where it's like, oh yeah, like this guy is just, you know, he's like a crazy religious nut and then he gets into making food and then you realize he's making Kellogg's and Cheerios like something, you know how like the dollop is where it's like but it's somebody that is famous but you don't know their name. Like I want to see a show like that and people have to like week to week like try to guess who the person is.
Weekly mystery,
yeah,
but it's like who this person is,
a famous like historical figure, you just don't know their name, you know, or like the lady,
but someone who's famous but you don't really know their backstory.
Exactly.
Or like, you know, they're like, oh, I know that person made this.
Yes. I think that'd be a really fun idea for a show. And it's like every season's a new person, and so you know, you started them as like a kid, you get to know their family, and then like every episode you learn more and more about them, and then one episode they're like, you know what, I'm gonna make something that everyone now knows about, and you're just like, whoa, wait, that's the guy that's been doing this entire time? Like,
this entire time? Are you saying this happens in this movie?
No.
Okay.
This movie didn't do anything. Yeah, as I alluded to previously, I didn't like this movie that much. It was sort
really
of, I didn't love it. I thought it was just okay. It really felt like it wanted to be like Tree of Life, but it just wasn't like as
Tree of Life.
It felt like that in my movie.
Wow.
It had like all these weird like montages and they kept cutting back between like, you know, different times of year and different like times in his life. And the music was just so repetitive. Like I hated the music. I don't know.
Huh.
I was very upset.
That's not how it was in my half. It's
no?
Interesting.
It was very straightforward in your half.
It was a lot more straightforward. There were certainly some visions, but like it was very kind of cozy. It was
just
like a chill vibe.
I will say a lot of scenes, particularly in the first half of my half of the movie, reminded me so much of Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
And I love that. That part I liked.
I like the vibe of this movie. I think this movie coasts on vibes, to be honest.
Oh, 100% it
does. I don't think there's a whole lot of like anything you haven't seen before in this movie.
Yeah.
But it's what it does. It's like, you know, it's a very competently shot movie.
Yeah. The other thing that weirded me out, because Sing Sing was shot on film, and that was like an A24 movie. This movie, they apparently had like 20 days to film. And they were like, there's no way we can shoot this thing on film if we're shooting in natural light. You know, and like people are doing like crazy stunts near trees or whatever. So they shot the whole thing on like digital.
Yeah.
And you can really feel it in certain scenes, particularly in nighttime scenes when like the frame rate starts to like freak out because of like low light and stuff like that. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I had some nitpicks with this.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I never, I didn't, I did not notice. I was too engrossed. I
just too engrossed in the weird vibes of this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. About Robert.
Robert Grainer.
Played by Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what's interesting is at the beginning, there was only like one or two production companies. I'm like, this ain't a real indie film. But also Netflix.
It's a Netflix film.
Netflix put it through. So they're like, we budgeted it or we paid for all of this.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the movie starts off with narration that says like there was once passageways to the old world. That old world is gone now, but you can still feel echoes of it. And you see like boots like nailed up to a tree that's got like moss and everything growing over it.
Yeah.
And then we cut to this really cool shot of a camera that's tied to a tree and you see the tree fall and it's a really just, I don't know, I've never seen anything like it. It's like, obviously it's cool.
Yeah.
But it's just, a point of view of the tree as it's falling. And you see it hit on the ground and people start cutting it up. And it's like, this is a story about Robert Grainer. He lived more than 80 years. He traveled west with a few dozen miles of the Pacific. He went to Idaho when he was 6 or 7. Mm. And you see him as a little kid and he's like looking and there's like a cow and has two heads.
That's pretty awesome.
And I was like, whoa, what is this movie?
Some Fallout shit.
It is some Fallout shit. But one of his earliest memories was the mass deportation of about 100 Chinese families from the town he lived in. Yeah. He was like, that's fucked up.
Wait, he did it?
No, he said that was fucked up. He didn't like it.
Okay.
He was like 7. Couldn't do anything about it. He's a 7-year-old. Yeah. Get out of here. I mean, there are some 7-year-olds who probably would say that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, he also had another memory, which is an old man who was like dying. And he's like, some of these memories he pushed out of his mind. This old man's just like, I got caught on the log and I'm a goner. And it's just little kid just like, oh, I guess I'll give you water.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like this guy wasn't really particularly interested in anything in particular. He was just kind of living life and just going through it. But then
trying to survive in the wilderness.
He met Gladys.
Oh, Gladys. Yeah.
And she introduced herself to him. And by after that, he was more interested in church.
Because she was attending. Yeah.
And then 3 months later, they were inseparable. And there you see a shot of them hanging out. She's like, what are you thinking about? And he's like, I'm thinking we ought to get married. He doesn't really have an accent. I don't know why he's doing a voice like that.
He kind of has a bit of an accent.
A little bit, but it's not that pronounced.
Yeah.
Gladys,
I love you.
It's not like that.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Turn it down, Mike. Turn it down. Turn down the accent just a little bit.
Okay. Hello, Gladys. How is it going?
No, we got to get a little more life than that. You're almost there.
Well, huh?
No, it's too much. Now he's gone to Hugh Hauser territory.
We'll never get it.
It's fine. You're fired. I'll find someone else.
We'll get Joel Edgerton for this.
Yeah, we'll get Joel Edgerton to do this.
So he's like, I'm going to get married.
I was like, are you married? And she's like, we already are married. Oh. We just need a ceremony to prove it. It's like, okay. I'm like, yeah, they're already together after 3 months.
Yeah.
Now, 3 months, you find the person you love. It's just that easy.
True.
When you know, you know.
When you know, you know.
And then
he's felt Cupid's arrow pierce his heart.
It's true.
Yeah.
And so we got a montage of them hanging out and they're setting up a new house. They do the whole thing where they put rocks out in the little field next to the river and they're like, this is where a house would be, and they pretend to like open it up and be like, oh, look at this new house, it's very nice, oh, we'll put a window here and all this stuff,
right. Very cute.
The narration says all of a sudden life made sense to Grainer. His work did take him far from home and he worked with men who came from faraway lands, but they became temporary families, like these people who's never of places he never heard before, like Shanghai and things like that. But in 1917, he took up with a railroad crew, and he wished he never had.
Why?
Well, we cut to him at the railroad place, and he's sawing a log with a Chinese dude. And they just immediately say, here in the background, like, hey, get that guy. He's sawing over there. And he's like, what? And they grab the Chinese dude, this group of men, these three men, and the foreman are, like, watching.
So three men and a foreman?
Yeah. A fourth man.
There's a two-man, a three-man, and a foreman.
A foreman. And the foreman is just standing there, and
he's Robert's, like, what am I supposed to do with this?
No, he's directing it. And the Robert's like, what is he doing? What did this guy do? Did he do anything? What did he actually do? And everyone's just like being like, I don't know. And they just grab the guy and they just chuck him off the bridge. They just chuck him off the bridge. They kill him. They just fucking kill him.
Yikes, bikes.
I know.
I don't like that at all.
No. Robert did not like that either.
I can imagine. That's a rough day at work.
And then we see a little bit later, they finish the railroad, and the foreman or whatever, I guess probably the president of the company, comes out. Shut up. And he says, you've spoken international, a good trip. Now we can cut through and save us a bunch of time with this new railroad.
Yeah.
You've done, you know, it's no pyramids of Egypt, but you've done something pretty darn incredible, says the foreman. And like, people are happy, but like, he just, Robert feels bad about all this.
Yeah. It's like,
he just saw like a dude die. At what cost? Killing a guy for like no reason.
For nothing. Yeah.
And then cut to the narrator. Narrator, while seeing from the perspective of another train, says that like many years later, a bridge made of concrete would be built 10 miles upstream, rendering this one obsolete.
Nice. This is one of the things I do like about it. And it also kind of reminds me of Sentimental Value a bit, of like the weird elasticity of time and how like something tragic will occur. And then they'll be like, in 10 years time, this would have been resolved, or it doesn't matter, or like this will be forgotten, or like this man died of a thing that in 10 years they will have a solution for, if only had been like born at a different time, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, they test it out, they run a train over it. It works fine, but Robert's still sad. And also, I saw a Chinese guy there, and he was also sad. And I'm like, that's the same Chinese guy.
Are you being racist?
No, I'm not. I'm not being racist. He looked very familiar, and I was like,
Are you sure it's the same guy?
I'm sure it's the same guy, Mike.
They just look very familiar.
No. Well, first off, like during most of the time when he was sad, I'm like, there's no other immigrants around.
Suddenly
this guy's here. And I'm like, that's weird. Why is he back? They killed him.
So it's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
So he goes home. He sees his wife there. He hugs and kisses her. She just had a daughter.
Whoa.
She's gotten so
big. And he's been out of house.
He's been out of the house. I mean,
so where'd the daughter come from?
Well, it's implied that he probably left when she was pregnant. Or she was just born and he left to go work.
Got it.
There's nothing weird like that going on in this.
Thank goodness.
I know. We don't need another bit of that drama coming in.
Yeah.
So, you know, Gladys is saying like, oh, she's starting to look like you. And
this little girl has a beard.
Start talking about this. But he's earned more money than last time. She's very impressed with the money he got. Yeah. And that's because he worked for
the
railroad.
But at what cost?
At what cost? Yeah. They're just hanging out, doing family things. He's drinking whiskey. He's being a good dad. He's being supportive. She makes like a fishing trap. And he makes a joke that it's a bassinet. She's like, ha ha, funny. He's like, hey, hey. I'm helping being a good dad. He's rocking the baby.
I'm sure nothing bad is going to happen.
Well, he starts having dreams of the railroad, and they're scary railroad dreams.
What do you mean?
They're scary railroad dreams.
Like they're train dreams or train nightmares?
They're train nightmares is what they end up
what
being.
What is scary about them? Like the train comes to life and it's got a big mouth?
No, it's like he just sees like people getting hit by trains.
That's pretty scary.
In the front. I'm pretty sure there's a Chinese guy getting hit again. Yeah. It's just he's having bad dreams about these railroads. He doesn't like them. Doesn't like the vibe. So he wakes up from this nightmare and he sees Gladys is feeding the kid. And he says, do you know all the cries she makes means? And she's like, more or less. And he's like, you know, dogs know more words than a baby until it can speak. He's like, really? She's like, yeah. Knows lots of words. And he's like, why don't you tell them to me? He's like, go back to sleep. I just really like the sound of your voice.
Aww.
And she's like, yeah. And it was like, stay and come and sit and all that stuff. And Mike, don't laugh. Why did I laugh? Why'd you laugh? Did I say something funny? Is Gladys hilarious?
Gladys is pretty funny.
She got some good jokes?
She's really funny. Yeah. She's a funny... I think women can be funny, personally.
You think women can be funny?
Yeah.
She's trying to be really funny, trying to put this guy to sleep.
Yeah, she's saying words like come at him.
Damn it, Mike. This is an Oscar-nominated movie.
This is an Oscar-nominated film. That's right. Very serious movie.
It's a very serious movie. She says this kid deep
down
knows.
Train wet dreams.
That's Mike's version. That's the version you prefer.
Yeah, they had done more of that. I don't love this movie.
So she says deep down, she knows you're her daddy and she'll love you. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
I don't know what I'm laughing at. She knows this. All right.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Daddy? Daddy come.
Oh God!
And in the so they got a new dog. And the dog's name is Daddy.
Daddy, yeah.
And the
Daddy come.
And Gladys keeps saying Daddy come. She says, "Don't worry, I'll have plenty of time to be your daddy." Damn it! Now you're making me laugh. I hate this.
This is a very sweet scene. Sorry, I'm sure this is going to be very emotional.
Sure, really felt a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so they go get their family portrait taken, mm-hmm. which is something I haven't thought about in years. Did you get family portraits taken as a kid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I felt like it was
long, but it was like at JCPenney's. It wasn't,
yeah, no, I went to like Macy's or something that. Yeah. And a little drop down and everything.
And it's funny because like I remember seeing the photos and we're not wearing like nice I think I'm wearing like an Aladdin shirt.
That's really funny. I had to at least wear a collar shirt. That was the thing I was told to wear. But
Makes sense.
No one's coming in like suits or anything. Well, we looked like nice-ish, but yeah. Anyway, I just thought about that because they were like, oh, I look good enough while they're taking this photo. And it's like, should I smile? Like, I don't know. Anyway, he goes back to work. He's meeting with people. None of them really have families or homes. They just go
they just
around.
They do this for money.
Yeah.
For that grind set.
They have that grind set. They're going from one job site to another. So like, even though they didn't really seem to make a lasting impression on the world, they made a lasting impression on him.
Aww.
And he worked next to a man for 2 months without exchanging a single word.
And that's real like office life right there.
Yeah, I know, right? And they said, if one guy asked that guy, like, have you ever been to California? And the guy just immediately gets up and says, can a man get any peace? And he leaves. And it's like, that's the only word you ever heard that man say.
That sounds like a Simpsons joke.
It does like a Simpsons joke. One guy was like super religious, and he had a montage of him like talking a lot. He's always like, God did this, and, you know, Job was a real worker, and, you know, Leviticus and blah 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 and all this stuff. And we just see a montage of him saying that, and then they're all sitting at lunch and he's talking about God and stuff, and this black dude appears and he's just like, hey, is anyone around here named Sam? No one says anything. What about I didn't write that down. Gritty Sam. You might be known by that.
Gritty. Gritty Sam. They look over and it's the cocky mascot.
He runs
shit,
away.
He runs away and his big belly's bouncing. Is Gritty around here?
It's Gritty Sam.
Is Gritty Sam around here? He's running away.
Such a funny picture.
He's been preaching the good word this whole time.
Yep. It's a Gritty Sam. And this guy, so the religious guy just gets up and runs.
Yeah.
And the dude walks over, pulls out a gun, just shoots him in the back.
That's awesome.
And they're all like, everyone's just quiet, like looking at him. He's like, that guy shot my brother. Only killed him because of the color of his skin.
Ooh, bad guy.
Does anyone else have a problem with what I just did? I don't want to be spending the rest of my time looking over my shoulder.
Yeah.
And no one says anything. Just like, yeah. He's like, sorry about interrupting your guys' lunch. He just leaves the body and walks away. He's like, damn, trees can get this big? And just leaves. Like, I love this guy.
That guy, I want to see that movie.
It's in this movie. I just have to watch the first half of it.
Yeah.
You want to see that guy's story.
Yeah, man.
That's the thing that I like about the beginning is you're just meeting people that are just like, these are all men
There's
with like
all,
stories
yeah,
that you
exactly.
just know they have.
Again, it feels like Red Dead, where it's like you'll come across an NPC and they'll just be like, I've been living here since for 30 years. And it's just like, wow, that's crazy.
That's so cool. Well, see you later.
And then you'll meet another person like, here's a snake. And you're like, whoa, that's crazy. This guy's got a snake.
Oh, it bit me. Ah! Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
So then we meet William H. Macy, who is named Arnes Peoples. He's like the oldest person he kept finding at the job site. He would just keep bumping into
Arnes. Yeah, his name comes up again.
Arn.
Yeah.
We're introduced to him. He's trying to use explosives. It doesn't work, and everyone starts laughing at him. And he's kind of the old guy who sits there, and they're all like taking a break because it's raining. Like, back in my day, we would just work the whole time. Eventually, he gets the explosives working. Everyone's in their little tents. They're singing, or he's singing, and everyone's like, shut up. Stop singing. And he's mentioning that Robert asks, like, you said these tents are from the Civil War. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, huh. And he looks at the foot of his bed and there's a Chinese guy hanging out there looking at him.
Oh.
He's like, Arn, do you
think... Is it a different one or is it the same
one? No, it's the same guy, Mike. That'd be crazy if they just kept casting different Chinese dudes. And it's just Robert's racist. And he's just like...
he's like, ah!
He's just like, I don't know.
So Robert's still seeing visions of this poor guy. Yep. I don't think I see him in my half of the movie once.
Really?
I don't think so.
Well, I think he's got bigger things that traumatize him instead of this.
Like what?
So then he says, aren't. Do you think the bad things we've done follow us?
Whoa.
So he's clearly just a representation of guilt of like not sticking up for that guy when he got killed.
Not doing anything to stop it,
He's like, can you sing a little more, Arn? And Arn's like, well, Arn says like, I don't know about that. I don't know if bad things follow us. He's like, can you sing a little more? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, all the guys are mad. The Nebraska boys are going to kill me. Or the Minnesota boys. And the Minnesota boys are going to get me.
And then he's like, and then you'll have more blood in your hands. Do you really want that, Robert? They kill me too?
He's like, no, I'll just play his harmonica. And he plays the harmonica. And
cute.
People seem to like that. And they say, the narrator's like, there's no end in sight for this never-ending supply of lumber.
Mm-hmm.
And including while they're trying to cut this lumber, some people die and like it falls the wrong way.
It lands
most
on
of the time,
people.
Like 99% of the time, it falls the right way, but sometimes they just don't know.
Yeah.
And these people die. They put 3 graves for them. They put their boots up and nail them above the grave and they say, there, now we'll remember that, you know, they may not get a proper burial, but this is the best we can do. And people remember that when they come by.
Right.
People die in this forest. And the foreman's like, well, that was very touching, but I'm sorry I couldn't get y'all the day off. The company just needs more lumber. I'm like, well, something's never changed.
Yeah, for real. We need to hit a bottom line.
The bottom line. We got some quotas to hit. They're not going to care that some guy died for it or 3 guys died for it. Yeah. Those are just numbers. Anyway, so Robert's getting worried. He's like, man, my work's taking me farther and farther away.
Mm.
Which from what I want to be or want to be doing, which is my kid and my wife, I want to be near them. And she's like walking around now. They're going hunting together. Or sorry, she's walking around. The baby's walking around now. The kid has aged quite a bit.
It's
no longer an infant. It's like walking around, saying words. He goes hunting with his wife.
Like sit, stay.
Sit, stay, come.
No, what kids say come is rude.
But the dog's there. How else are they going to get the dog
That's
to
true.
There?
To the dog to come.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True. Yeah. Ethan, what are you laughing at?
I didn't laugh at anything. All I picture in my mind is that movie, Freddy Got Fingered, and it's like, I'm a farmer,
I'm
Dad!
I'm a farmer, Dad!
I hate that in my memory forever.
I know, me too.
Anyway.
I hate that we brought it up in Trade Dreams.
You're the one who said wet dreams earlier, so where are you? You've set
I've
us down
this
train track.
This,
you've already built the train.
We have to get back on track.
No,
yeah,
it's off the rails right now. We're going deep into the forest now. Deep, deep, Mike.
Deep,
deep,
deep, Daddy.
No. Anyway. The what? Gladys is like, hey, so what if I came out?
Good for her.
All of this, I feel like I'm walking a minefield. And I have to tiptoe around my words.
Tiptoe around everything.
Don't wait, Daddy.
No, yeah, that's right.
Classic game. She's like, what if I came out with you to help you at the cut? And
that's so dangerous.
I know. And he's like, it's pretty dangerous out there. I don't really want you out there. And she's like, you said some of the guys brought their like wives around. Like one guy did.
And they made fun of him.
One guy did and it didn't last very long. Yeah. And then another guy, that wasn't actually his wife. That was someone else and all this stuff. And she's like, I'm just trying to find a way to like for us to be together.
Yeah, because he's gone so long.
Yes, exactly. And so he's like, all right, so he's buying some stuff at the general store and they're the narrator's like, money's tight for them. It's not going as well as it should have because he's not taking train jobs anymore. He's just working in the forest.
Right.
And he didn't know it then. This is a very ominous narrator thing to say, but they says he didn't know it then, but he'll remember this time as the best in his life.
Oh,
the happiest moments.
That's not good.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, then we cut to them smashing. So him and his wife banging.
Oh,
so maybe that was one of the reasons. Yeah. She didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything that we were talking about.
He's logging.
I mean, he's a master of the wood.
Yeah.
We got to get off this topic. I don't know how we can. There's always just going to be tainting the rest of this episode.
Yeah. Taint. So, yeah, what happens next?
He's like, maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's something we could do where you don't have to go logging all the time. Maybe we could turn our acre into a farm. I can plant more. And he's like, oh, I don't no.
It's a good solution. But yeah, they have to wait for it to grow.
Yeah, maybe you can get some more money. We can get a sawmill. And then you can start maybe working and selling logs here or something. Mm. And he's like, sawmill is really expensive, but I don't know. I you know what? We could try doing that. That's a good idea. We should start doing that, trying to see a better way for me to stop working on the logging fields there.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, I'm going to go to my camp now. I'm going to go out. Bye, kid. And the kid's just ignoring, just being a kid, just being like, ooh, chickens or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, she doesn't know. And then he walks away a little farther and tries to say goodbye again. The kid's just ignoring. And Gladys is like, look, say bye to your dad. It's like, I'm not going to say anything.
Well, and that's the last he ever saw them.
I didn't realize it at the time because I didn't know what happened, but yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
Sad.
So the narrator says here, $4 a day on most jobs, and he figured one long stint in the woods, he would have just enough to buy a sawmill and be ready to go.
So sad.
It's such a classic, like, one day from retirement,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
So he's talking to Arn, hanging out with some other guys, and Arn's like, he's surprised to see Arn again. Like, this is a rare thing. And Arn's like, it's hard work out here, not just physically, but for your soul. Like, we're cutting trees that have been here for 500 years.
Mm.
And we're just a bunch of people. I love this line. He says, every thread we pull, we don't know what we're unraveling. We're but children on a Ferris wheel pulling off bolts.
Whoa.
I'm like, damn.
That's cool.
That's some real shit right there. Like, we just got here. We don't know how this shit works. We're just
destroying it.
We're just destroying it.
Yeah.
And this one kid is like, I've logged up and down, all but down Canada and everything, and there's thousands of trees to cut, and there's so many of them, like, we'll never run out. And when we do, the old ones will be ready to cut again. Like, they'll be replanted, and they'll grow tall enough, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And Arn just looks at him and says, I remember thinking the exact same thing when I was a young man.
Oh,
sure. And the guy kind of like shuts up, like, I guess you're right, you've been doing a lot more logging than I have.
Yeah.
It's the end of a job site. Arn asks, like, are you moving or going on, Robert? And he's like, I'm going home. I got to see the kids. And he's like, do you have any family, Arn? He's like, no, my family's wherever I see a smiling face, except Kansas. They're crazy there. And Robert's like, I don't know where the years go. And Arn says, well, if you figure it out, let me know, because I'd like to ask for some back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the narrator says, Robert thought that, like, Arn would go out in a puff of smoke. He felt like that kind of character, but no. What happened instead was a little bit different. And you see a tree branch falling from the sky just hits Arn right in the head.
Jesus Christ.
And some guy goes, the Widowmaker got him. I'm like, well, that's a bad fucking sign. They say a Widowmaker got him.
Yeah.
They call it that for a reason.
He also doesn't have a widow.
I know, right?
Because he's not as a family.
So unfortunately, this Widowmaker is not a Widowmaker.
Yeah.
It's just a killer. A man-eater.
Yeah.
Should have said that. Anyway, Arn grew dreamy and forgetful over the next few years.
Mm.
Or the next few days, not years, days.
Wow.
Excuse me, it was much faster.
He lasted, yeah.
Yeah, he forgot his own name before it was all done, and we see a scene of him just looking out into the wilderness.
Wait, he survived? And
he survived.
Just, oh my God.
But only for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, for a couple days.
Massive head trauma.
Got it, okay.
And he's just sitting there, he's like, it's beautiful, isn't it? And he's like, what's beautiful? All of it.
Damn. And
they do a little funeral for him, and they say, Arn
does
was my
Robert
friend.
Attend?
Of course he does, yeah.
I didn't know this.
Okay. Robert attends. This is like, they didn't even give the guy go to the hospital or anything. Like,
yeah,
they didn't take
him
off the job site. He's still working. He just has a head injury.
I thought Robert already was going home.
No, he sticks around a little bit.
Okay.
Because this might also be a different time. Like, the time is all futzy in this.
Right,
this could be
right,
a different
time right.
Or maybe he was just asking afterwards. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But one random guy comes up and is like, Arn was my friend. He said, like, even a tree would be your friend. But the second you bit into it with a saw, the message was clear. You're starting a war with that tree.
Mm.
And Robert starts to think that maybe that snag was like that thing he did all the way back then. And that Widowmaker was meant for him.
Oh.
It wasn't meant for Arn at all. And he's riding his train back home. Go see his family, and you just see a bunch of smoke out the side.
Mm.
He's like, oh shit. And the whole town is
fire.
On fire.
Yeah.
Huge wildfire. He tries to ask someone, like, have you seen Gladys? Nope. Haven't seen Gladys. He goes towards the cabin, but it's like the whole area is covered in flames.
Yeah.
Like, fire actually catches on his shirt, and he like pats it out. He's coughing through the smoke. And then he just sees visions of his house going up in smoke. And he's inhaled a lot of smoke. So maybe this is where the movie starts to get real trippy.
Yeah, it does.
So he goes to the wreckage after everything's over.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees the home. It's covered in ash. The narrator says, for 2 weeks, he searched every town in the region to wait for his family's return. And the shopkeeper takes pity on him, gives him some free bread. And yeah, he's hoping for that. So then he just waits back at the old cabin, hoping that they'll come back at some point.
Yeah.
And then he sees a bear in the background while waiting. That's like really badly compositioned. It looks very bad. I don't know why.
Like badly composed or badly like added in post?
Badly added in post.
Oh, okay, okay.
Which
okay.
is funny because the production company is called like Black Bear Productions or something like
you'd
that.
You think they and would
I'm
know
like,
what they were
doing.
You'd
think they have a good bear to work yeah. with. But I guess not.
Yeah.
So he remembers his life before the fire while watching a campfire. He sees the Chinese man in front of him at night mm-hmm. with the fire. And he starts yelling at him. He's like, why? This is too much. Why do you think they deserve that?
Yeah.
Why? And obviously, it's a ghost. It's not going to respond. He's not going to say shit.
He's going to go, boo.
Yeah. So then the shopkeeper comes by and drops off some food for Robert. And he's like, I didn't know I'd find out here. You wouldn't believe the stories they tell about you back in town. And he's like, yeah. So then they go shooting together. And as the storekeeper shoots a gun, it reminds him of the time he went hunting with his wife.
Yeah.
And she got an animal. It didn't say what animal she shot. This movie has a very weird budget, so
they probably didn't want to show
yeah,
it.
Especially yeah. if the bear looked that bad. They're like, we don't need to show the
bear.
We don't
need to show any more animals. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the end of my half.
Well, yeah. So Robert and Ignatius Jack, I learned is his name, the storekeeper, walk through the woods.
He's a Native American guy.
Yeah, he's a Native American guy. Gladys' memories, burned down cabin. Robert cries by a dead animal. He says they aren't coming back. And Jack just sort of like gives him space. Jack is like my favorite character in the movie because yeah. like Robert is going through so much heartache and pain. And Jack is like, I'm not
equipped for this, but yeah. I'm going to help where I can. Here's some free food. Well, like even he gives him all this stuff and Jack's like, or not Jack. Robert's like, I'll pay you back.
Yeah.
And Jack's like, I never asked you to. It's yeah. fine. Just take it.
But like, he doesn't know how to like emotionally deal with this, which is like fair. So like, you know, Robert's just yeah, like,
there's definitely no therapy back in 1920, whatever.
Yeah. So Robert is just like sobbing by this dead animal. And like, we stay on Joel Edgerton for like a long time. And so Jack just sort of like gives him space. And then he's like, well, Robert, let's skin that deer.
It's the most man therapy thing ever.
It
where it's
really
like,
is.
I don't know how to deal with this. We're just going to do a task and maybe I'll make you feel better.
It's so good. So Robert goes looking for mushrooms that will grow on burned land, which is like sad as hell.
Damn.
And he's like, he's
kind of cool though.
It is pretty
cool. It's sad, but it's also like a symbol of like regrowth, right? Like
yeah.
A new life is growing now.
Of these things are going to grow over it. Yeah. He says he wanted to be ready for Kate and Gladys if they return. Cause he still's like, I didn't know this, but he's like, never saw the body.
Nope.
Doesn't know what happened to him. You
it
know,
still be out there for some
it
reason.
Could still be. And I wrote down, this is really starting to feel like Red Dead Redemption. Cause he finds a bunch of dogs and he washes them and the puppies, they just like wound up on his land. He's like, I'm going to take care of these dogs.
Oh, that's cute.
It's very cute. He starts to hear voices of his dead wife and daughter, like while he's like walking around the woods.
I like that these visions of Chinese guy guilt have like replaced with like
his wife and
well, cause like the other thing is like, you gotta remember his wife was like trying to go on the job with him.
Yeah, I know.
So
yeah.
like,
and he said, no, it's too dangerous.
It's too dangerous. You can't go.
Yeah. And the reason he was gone for so long is because he wanted to stay home.
Yes.
He wanted to get enough money so that he could buy something to make mm-hmm. sure that he didn't have to leave house again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sad. It's depressing.
Ultra guilt.
Yes. Robert and Jack guess what the dogs are. They think like maybe it's wolfish. But then Jack's like, I don't think they're wolves because male wolves don't mate with anyone else but wolves. They don't mate with dogs. And and then Robert's like, well, what if they wanted to? What if they were interested in it? What if they wanted to see new things? And Jack's like, no.
And then
Robert kisses honestly, that's what I was thinking too. Robert ends up raising the cabin walls again. Rebuilds the whole cabin, but he could not rebuild the bedroom because it's too painful for him.
Damn.
He sees a comet. And he says, the narrator says that the comet was supposed to bring about the end of days, but after 2 weeks, nobody cared or remembered.
Damn.
And to me, that is the pinnacle of like, you think the world is coming to an end because these people in your life are dead. And
or,
then eventually
yeah.
one day you forget. One day it's over with, you know?
I mean, one day you're guilty about that guy that you didn't stick up for, and now you're feeling worse about your family.
That's somebody else.
Something else appears.
You thought the end of the world was coming, and it didn't, you know? So now the cabin is complete, and he's still waiting, but he's not sure what he's waiting for, because he's like, I don't know if they're ever going to return. I don't know what's ever going to happen. He goes to work in a lumber yard. I wrote down, the camera rig is shaky. It doesn't look good. he can't start a chainsaw. A branch nearly lands on him. Nobody gives a shit. And then he also sees shoes growing inside of, or like he sees trees growing around shoes, but it's like growing around them. So it's like the thing you mentioned before, of like they, you know, they add the shoes to the trees as sort of like memories of people's deaths, but it's like the trees continue to go around it. Like it doesn't matter, you know, like
they'll eventually overtake the boots.
Exactly. Eventually. Like, the boots will be forgotten.
Eventually everything will be forgotten like that. Dust in the wind, baby.
Yep. So Robert is sitting by.
We didn't mention that Gladys was played by Felicity Jones, did we?
Yeah, well, no, we didn't. So I wanted to bring this up a bit. So Felicity Jones, Joel Edgerton, and then another actor in the movie from Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh yeah,
is in this movie.
I didn't see her.
No Americans.
No, well
except for William H. Macy and stuff, but and obviously the Native American. But like the three main leads are like British, I think Australian and Irish.
Hmm.
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
So Joel Edgerton, Robert sits by a fire, and then this man Billy comes by and sits next to him, and he's like, "Hey, I think I might remember you. We worked together a while back with Arn." Mm-hmm. And Billy's like, "I haven't seen Arn in quite a while. You know what ever happened to him?"
Oh.
And Robert's like, "No, I haven't seen him in a bit either." But I, as an audience member, can tell he doesn't want to tell. His friend that he's dead basically.
He's gonna have the same feeling he has with his family where he's like, maybe they're dead, maybe they're not.
Yeah, or just like let him he says he hasn't seen him in a while, but I wrote down, but I think Robert is lying. And at first I was like, maybe he killed him. But whoa. No, he just didn't want to tell this poor guy. And so then he helps Billy untie his shoes because Billy's like an old man and needs help. And they both are like, we don't want to be loggers anymore. This is way too difficult. I'm not interested in this anymore. And so Robert ends up not ever logging ever again. The narrator says Robert has given up on the prospect that his life will change. And he still lives with those dogs. The dogs are very cute. A man named Avery dies of a heart condition that the narrator says was treatable if he was born a generation later. Robert buys horses and a wagon. It used to transport people that he can make money from. And even though he sees all the different kinds of people in town, he still feels very lonely because no one wants to talk to him. One day, he comes across Claire, offers to transport her. She is played by the lady from Banshees of Inisherin.
Yes.
I just wrote down, she's
Carrie Condon.
Yes. I wrote down, she seems like a mountain lady. I'm not a big fan of Carrie Condon. We saw her in Banshees, which I really liked her in, but she's also in Better Call Saul as Mike's daughter-in-law. And I was never impressed with her in that movie. I thought local actor that was bad. And then we also saw her in that like fucking Night Swim movie,
she's
remember?
In Night Swim.
And
she's gonna be in a movie to watch soon too.
Really?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to see what that is.
See what that is.
Audience. She's great. I'm like, I wrote down, she's just like a mountain woman. She's always doing like a little like snarl, but she doesn't seem like cruel. She just seems like heartened by the world around her. And like also like intelligent. Like, you know, eventually we learn that she is she's going to be basically a fire watch person.
Okay.
Which is actually kind of ironic. But she's basically, she's going to go out there. She's going to make sure like fires aren't started and like study like she's part of the new Forest Service, something that's new in America.
Oh yeah. The Forest Service is brand new at this point.
Yeah.
This is probably what, the 30s now or something?
Probably.
30s
yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
So yeah. And so the two of them sort of get to know each other. They seem like they both get along very well. They're both very quiet people. She says that he's different, you know, that's what she's heard from people in town. And he's like, well, isn't everyone different? And she's like, no, not everyone is different. But she's like, it's a good thing to be different. Like, not everyone's different, but I'm different and you're different. And that's good. She also likes to talk about how, like, she likes to talk about religion, but in a very different way than Gladys. She sees it as more of like and again, this, I think, comes from her like experience and like education and stuff. She does not like bad-mouthing religion. She just finds it interesting that she's like, you know, like floods, they're in almost every form of creation myth, you know, and she's like, they go back forever and ever. And, you know, the Bible was inspired by this thing and inspired by that thing. And, you know, you see this in all forms of culture and stuff. And then she's like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking about this. But she's like, you know, the world is just a really old place. And, you know, sometimes the things that we think are old are actually really, really young and stuff like that.
Interesting. Like the Forest Service.
Like the Forest Service. Robert gets sick, really sick. He's coughing and vomiting.
Oh, no, it's just like Red Dead Redemption.
It is. It is. And then he has a fever dream where he's inside the cabin and it's burning down. And his alive wife is in there looking at him and dying and then perishing in the woods. And then he wakes up the next day and he walks.
I've had dreams like that. It's fine.
We've all done that.
We've all had
dreams like that. If only there was some kind of medicine.
If only she looked at him and said, Daddy.
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 Come. And so then he wakes up and he walks through the snow and there's a snowstorm. And I'm like, why are you doing that?
It's cold. I'll wake him up.
Yeah. And then he rides at a fire watch station to talk to Claire, and they talk about her job, how she got it. And she's like, everything grows so fast. And she's like, you can't even tell a fire got through here. And he talks about his dead family. And he said, this is like the only moment to really get like an internal monologue, or we understand like where Robert is basically. He's like, you know, sometimes I feel like what happened to me happened to someone else. Because I don't want to believe it happened to me because it's so terrible. And he's like, sometimes I blame myself. And then he's also admits, like, sometimes I hear them. Like, sometimes I hear their voices in the wood. And then he's like, am I crazy? And then, what's her name? Claire?
Mm-hmm.
Claire says this really sweet thing. She's like, you know, I lost my husband too. And, you know, she's like, when you go through something like that, nothing you do is crazy. You know? And then she's like, you know, everything in this forest is connected. Everything. If one thing left, people would notice it. People would care, mm-hmm. you know? And then he asks, he's like, what if you got nothing else? No, she also adds, like, not only is everything connected, but also everything in the woods has a reason for being there. Everything does something, you know? Even if
everything has its purpose.
Everything has its purpose.
Like those weird little mushrooms.
Mushrooms
that grew on the ground when it was burned.
Exactly. Those have a purpose.
Yeah.
And he says, but what if I don't know what my purpose is anymore? What if I don't know what to give to the world? And she's like, you know, world needs hermits just like it needs preachers.
Mm.
And then she's like, and we're both hermits.
Yeah.
And in a way. And that's pretty much the last time we ever see her.
Aw.
I know. She was a very welcome part of the movie. One night, he hears some noise outside. He's like sleeping and he hears some noise. And he goes outside and he sees a girl.
Okay.
Like a little, like a 12 or 13-year-old girl.
Okay.
And she's like passed out. And he thinks it might be Kate. And
maybe.
And so he brings her in. Her leg is broken. He fixes it. And he tries bringing her back to health. And the next morning, she's gone.
She just leaves.
And he goes looking for her and he can't find her. But he knows it was real.
How does he know it was real?
I don't know.
Narrator says it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, I'm going to wait more years for her to come back to me. And now we cut. And now there are cars and there are passenger trains, like modern passenger trains. There's television.
It's crazy.
They're going to space now. And I will say, they gave old man makeup to Joel Edgerton and it did not look that good.
Oh, man. I was thinking it'd be easy because he's mostly beard.
Yeah,
so he's cut with a beard.
It doesn't look that good. He goes to a freak show and he cries when he sees the dog-faced boy.
What? This sounds insane.
It is.
Okay, this is not where I thought this movie was going.
No, yeah. And then he goes and he looks at the TV and he sees like there's a reflection of like a lady and he's just like, what is that? And she's like, that's space. And he's like, what? We're going to space? And she's like, yep, we're going to space. And he's like, that's crazy. And she's like, yeah, that's the way it is, I guess.
We butchered so much of this earth here. We gotta go
somewhere else. Then he looks at himself in the mirror in a bathroom and they say that it's the first time he's seen himself in a mirror in a decade. Wow. And I'm like, God damn, that's a real thing. Like if you don't have a mirror in the house and you don't go out anywhere, you never see your reflection.
You don't have any phones accidentally.
But he's got a good beard for not being able to see himself in the mirror, I will say.
Yeah, I guess it grows naturally. It'll probably grow pretty well.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of, this is just such an interesting like generation, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like I've never really thought about this generation. It's like before, the silent era or something. Like it's like before, no, not before smartphones.
Well, it is.
But like, yeah, but it's before, it's a weird spot where you're like born in the early century.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like going through life and like so much technology happened in that moment.
Yeah.
Like,
television, cars.
Like, you're building a freaking railroad through the nation.
Yeah.
Like that's so old sounding, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, we're launching people into space. Like, we're really in the future now. Like,
that happened
exist.
Within his lifetime.
That's crazy to me.
A job that you could hold within his lifetime went from being like a lodger and like a guy that cuts down trees to now being an astronaut.
Yeah.
That happened within his lifetime.
That's just crazy. Like, it just seems like so far away. Well, I mean, especially on the frontier, things are slower then.
He's
right?
also a hermit.
He is also a hermit.
Yeah, so he doesn't really like interact with the outside world too much.
Still, it's crazy.
It is crazy when you think about it. So he goes to a freak show, he cries, and then he sees that there are opportunities for him to fly in a plane. And so he's like, hey, can I fly in that plane? And they're like, yeah. So we get a shot of him in a plane, and he thinks of his family.
Is it like a jet?
No, it's like a little passenger, like propeller plane.
Okay, that's crazy though. I mean, going from a place where you're like going through New Forest with in the train, like
yeah.
he rides trains a lot, and then just being like, oh, there's
I want to be in a plane.
Next mode of transportation is flying. It's
so
crazy.
Yeah, he's in the propeller and he's flying around. He just thinks of his whole life. I wrote down this movie wants to be Tree of Life so bad. We just get all these little shots of like him and Felicity Jones,
yeah.
in the woods and you know all this stuff, and then the narrator goes. Well, Robert died in 1968, so they didn't get to the moon, but they were in space. He's like, died in 1968, and he says he never bought a gun. He didn't know what his parents were, and he never spoke into a phone or a radio. That's how old he is. And it says, and we start getting shots of the cabin all covered in moss and returning to nature. And he says, and the narrator says, but at the end of it all, he felt connected to everything. That's the end of the movie.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then there's the song at the end. It's Nick Cave. And he's just like, I saw a man shoot the brains out of a bobcat. It's Trey Dreams. Something like that. Like, that's what it was like, basically.
Okay.
It was like, I was on a train, and it was sad.
I saw my wife and kids. They were dead. My wife called me daddy. She told the dog to come.
Here come the men in black. But yeah, that's the movie. I thought it was cute and it was fine, but it really didn't like.
I mean, at least it was short. It wasn't super long. Yeah. Unlike this guy's life, it seemed to last forever. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It's like a movie that's like they wanted to make something and they really went out and did it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's really saying a whole lot. It's kind of like philosophy soup in a way. And you kind of have to like pick out what you want out of it and be like, oh,
which
okay.
is fine. You
yeah.
can do that, you know?
I think you can make a movie like this. I think there's some really cool shots in it. I think, I mean, I always love a good outdoorsy movie. I feel like they have to nominate one outdoorsy movie. Like,
they
every
got
year.
A movie about movie making.
Yeah.
You got a movie
yeah,
about outdoors.
Yeah, multiple movies about movie making,
yeah.
usually.
Sometimes a biopic.
Sometimes a biopic.
Yeah.
One about the outdoors or something.
Someone
usually.
With a gay person
yeah.
or a trans person. Mm-hmm. Or people of color.
Yep, you got to pick
but
one.
But you
of
only
each.
Have one of them.
You only
can't have,
one. Have
the entire.
And if you combine them, whew.
Oh, then you're great. Then you can just get a bunch of white movies in there,
yeah,
and then
true.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, what was it? Amelia Perez just landed on their fucking lap, and they're like, "Well, we now know. We know what
we
we're
gotta
doing.
Go with this one."
Yeah.
Obviously. Uh oh. Wait,
but...
what's wrong? What's wrong with this movie?
But yeah, I don't know. I again, I don't hate the movie. I don't think the movie's bad.
No.
I just like I didn't really feel like connected.
I mean, it's also hard to see it when it's in the second half.
That's
like,
true.
I feel like I always have to kind of give a little like, all right. But I think that's the thing, though. If the movie hits you in the second half, though.
It has. It has happened.
There's been times where it's happened. That's yeah. when you're working with fire.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
I'm Still Here. Hit.
Oh.
Hit, like, that shit
yeah.
rocked.
Yeah, that shit rocked hard.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe these next movies will hit us maybe a little bit harder.
I will say I did not see Sing Sing when it came out, and I'm bemoaning that. I hear it was incredible. I want to watch it. I'm wondering how similar it is in directorial style.
It sounds like a completely different movie, though. Like, in every way, it's such a different movie, it sounds like.
It sounds like it's a much more, yeah, like, grounded film, takes place in one location over the course of a couple of months,
mm-hmm.
based off of, like, real events that occurred to the writer and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. But, I don't know. I thought this movie was just okay. But I will say the other thing is, like, you can really feel the movie was shot in, like, a couple of weeks. Like,
now that you mention it, it's like, yeah. I mean, it's easy to just be like, well, walk around the forest a little bit differently
yeah.
now.
Yeah, exactly.
All
exactly.
right, there
Here,
we go.
Let's put some old man makeup on you.
All right, you're
you
good
know?
To go. You're going to do the old man scenes now.
It's like, well, we do want things on fire, but we shouldn't do, like, an entire forest fire. We should do, like, a little bit of it, you know?
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's if you're in the mood for like kind of I don't even know because it's like I don't want to be say that it's a cozy movie.
No,
it's kinda not.
That's the thing. It isn't a cozy movie. It sounded really cozy at the beginning.
It was, and then it got weird and trippy. I don't know if you want like a if you don't feel like you want to go outside.
Yeah, if you want to read a book but you don't want to read a book, watch this movie.
Honestly, yeah, it kind of feels that way. Yeah, it kind of feels like you're just gonna go on a journey of different thoughts and feelings. I mean, this movie is based off a book.
It's based off a novella, yeah. Which apparently the guy who did the narration for this movie did the also read the audiobook of this.
Oh, really?
So I'd imagine like someone listened to the audiobook and they were like, "Oh, let's get this guy to do the audio.
We should get this guy to do it." Yeah, the narrator. I mean, he's
a
really
very
good.
Famous
Will
actor.
Patton.
Yeah, he was also in Minari, is that the name of the movie?
Was it Minari?
Yeah, he was the one guy that the one white guy in that movie.
Oh, maybe. I don't remember any white guy from that movie, to be honest.
Minari's the one where like the family moves to Texas. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was in it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the crazy white guy.
I do not remember him at all.
He's also Remember the Titans. He's one of the coaches in that movie. And then I feel like he's in something else that I'm forgetting.
He's in just a few like random things.
He's more of a character.
Reboot
actor.
Of the Halloween. Yeah, he's kind of a character. He's got a great voice though.
He does have a great voice.
He's probably cooking up all that extra money doing audiobooks.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for him.
But yeah, I thought it was just okay. Sounds like you were a little cold on it.
I liked it quite a bit, and then yeah, hearing kind of where it went, I don't know. It was just kind of like
fizzled out.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I felt it as much as I was hoping.
Yeah.
I still think it's a fun movie and a good
fun
movie.
Fun movie.
I think it's a fun movie to watch if you're wanting to read a book instead.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, have you ever read a book? Email us. Email theatherhubpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Discord, and we have a Blue Sky. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes or future Oscar episodes, you can find them on any podcasting app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it on the show. Even if it's a novella-sized review, we will read it.
Why not?
And we'll get Will Patton to do it. Or I'll do my best Will Patton impression.
Do your best Will Patton impression.
These two guys, they were watching a movie called Train Dreams. And at first, they seemed to really like it. But then, about 40 minutes later, they realized they didn't like it all that much. But they did enjoy a couple things. One, the dog. Two, cum. Three... Daddy. Four. Good night, everybody. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.